May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I have entitled this sermon, Beware of Your Complacency. You never know what's going to happen next, and both good things and bad things come our way. I have realized much more as my life has grown longer, but it is quite wrong to say that nice things come from God and nasty things don't. How wrong it would be just to say that God created, for instance, the flowers and the bees, but the devil made the snails and the ants and the wasps. It's just not true. Everything in heaven and on earth comes from the one source. It's not up to us to judge the value of any part of it or to prejudge the outcome. This last week, we've seen our two-year-old grandson severely ill and in hospital. And along with that, such a lot of support and prayer, skillful medical intervention, and really loving care from the staff at East Surrey Hospital and at Guy's. So thank you for your prayers last weekend when the crisis was at its severest. The little boy is doing okay. He is now at home, supported by local nursing staff, and will do okay. Jesus was aware that nice things and nasty things are all mixed up together in this world. He once told a parable about it, about wheat growing with weeds all tangled in. In a world without weed-killing chemicals, all you could do was let them both grow up together, because pulling the weeds up would pull the wheat up as well. He was telling us that we have to take the rough with the smooth until harvest, the judgment day, when it will all be sorted out for us. For him, the bottom line was that rather than destructively resisting evil, we should overcome evil with good. That's what we saw in that hospital. And that's a pretty good way to live our lives. There's a character in our gospel today whose philosophy of life was the exact opposite of that. A thoroughly nasty person. The gospel today is a gospel about greed and the complacency that greed can lead to. It's a story that is actually very familiar to us. It's the story of Ebenezer Scrooge, who damns everyone else, and in the process damns himself with his own greed. Because we are all prone to do this, to put self first, and the acquisition of property and security for ourselves very high in our priorities, we are in danger of becoming like this farmer with his barns full, or like Scrooge with his miserly riches. And we are prone to ignore the simple blessings of life and to fall into the world's way of seeing faith and hope and love as irrelevant. The world's way of seeing things is dreadful. In the sphere of international relations, it is clear that the only way to keep peace in the world's view is to keep fully armed and terrify your opponents into not attacking you. But we have seen very clearly how limited the success of such a strategy have been. Terrorism and banditry abound in the world, and the innocent become refugees, desperately in need of our aid. The same is true of in industrial relations. How often we've seen this kind of self-seeking behaviour on both sides of industry. It seems impossible for the two sides in many industrial disputes to sit down and negotiate calmly without first blaming the other for being greedy and self-seeking. And the result is such things as the overcrowding and long delays on our railways and other similar unnecessary inconveniences. And I won't even begin to talk about politics and business. We all know the world has its problems. But Jesus is telling us that the church can also have the same problem. Before we blame the world, we need to examine ourselves and see if we are being at all selfish and self-seeking in the realm of our faith. Are we hoarding the faith in our denominational box? We mustn't do so. As the great William Barclay once wrote, we have come to a stage today when we are content to shut Christ up within the church. And when we quite bluntly regard it as impossible to bring Christianity into the ordinary concerns and affairs of the world, Christianity has become rather an optional extra on the circumference of life than a complete essential dominating the whole of life. What happens if we let Christ out? That's not the question, he says. The question for the Christian ought always to be not is it safe? But is it right? Our faith is a risky business. We have to live in a world where good and evil grow side by side. We have to resist evil not by fighting against it, but by being better than that, overcoming evil with good. Jesus suffered the worst kind of evil, and at his last moment refused to condemn those who killed him. They had little choice in the matter, but he could make all the difference by overcoming evil with good. That's why he lives on in the faith and hope and love of his people. We are now his hands and his feet and his voice. Even in this world, we can see him at work. So let us remain true to his name. Amen.